We're going to discuss inviting non-religious guests for Shabbos meals, even though we just discussed it on Thursday. I think the recording got messed up on Thursday anyway. So the issue is as follows. When you invite non-religious guests on Shabbos, very often they drive on Shabbos, and that is a problem. You're not allowed to be machshel someone to do an Avera. On the other hand, very often the way that people find their way into Judaism, into Torah observant Jewish life, is through Shabbos. Probably if you had to take a poll of Balei Tshuva and ask them what were their key moments were in becoming Baal Tshuva, what the defining moments were, the two leading answers you get are experiencing a Shabbos and going to the Kotel, going to Eretz Yisrael and being at the Makom HaMikdash. So it would be a big loss for Kiruv if we couldn't do Shabbos. Shabbos is very important. On the other hand, and also very importantly, a lot of times in Balei Tshuva themselves, if they don't invite family members for Shabbos and Yantav meals, it could destroy the whole chance of anyone viewing Torah observant Judaism in a positive light in their family. It could be a terrible thing. It could be a terribly difficult family dynamic if they stop inviting them for Shabbos and Yantav meals because they decided to become frum and when the rest of the family is not frum. So there are three basic approaches to how to deal with this kind of situation. Rav Moshe, Nigros Moshe, or Chaim Chilkal, Simon Sadiches, and Sadi Tes discusses different situations of shuls that want to run minyanim where they know that people are going to be driving on Shabbos. So first he discusses advertising a youth minyan for Balei Tshuva, and he vehemently rejects such a minyan because it teaches, he says it's negative chinuch. It's going to teach that tefillah b'tzibur is more important than Shmir Shabbos, and nothing could be further from the truth, and therefore you want to be mechanich them the right way, don't teach them the wrong thing. Then the second tshuva is about a shul in general, and he says that really you have two problems over here. Number one problem is what we would think of on our own is lifnei iver. The Gemara of Zarda Vavam Bey says that even though the Torah says lifnei iver lo sitin michshol, which simply means do not put a stumbling block in front of a blind person, Gemara says no, what it really means is don't cause other people to do averos. So by causing other people to do averos, one is in violation of nisa daraisa of lifnei iver lo sitin michshol. If you get someone to drive to shul and Shabbos and they were not going to otherwise drive, every time they step on the gas pedal it's a malacha of havara, and therefore it's a violation of lifnei iver lo sitin michshol. Yantif may be a little bit better. We discussed Rav Avadia Zechuv in Yechav Das Chil Gimel Simon Lamed Vav, where he discusses why it's usher to drive a car on Yantif, and he has several reasons that it's usher to drive a car on Yantif, but it's less usher than it is on Shabbos because the malacha of havara is not a problem on Yantif because mitok shos with tzarech ochel nefesh hutanam yishlol tzarech ochel nefesh. You have a host of different problems. You have zilzul Yantif, you have tchumen issues, you have other issues that you can have to deal with. But you have nolad, molad, whatever, they're creating a new fire when you turn on the car. But it may be less of an isser because the molad will only be midrabbanan on Yantiv, maybe less of an isser than it would be on Shabbos. But either way, it's lifnei iver, you're causing the person to do an aveira. The second problem Rav Moshe has is that it's mesis, that by getting someone to do an Avera, the Torah has a whole parsha in Dvarim Yud Gimel, Pasuk Zayin to Yud Beis, about how terrible it is to be mesis somebody to do Avodah Zarah, to entice someone to do an Avera. So, I'm going to make a big kiddush in shul, and I'm going to tell everyone you come to daven, and you can have a nice chalent and a kugel. So it's enticing them to go and do an Avera. It's mamash and mesis. Rav Moshe says, wait a second, isn't mesis about Avodah Zarah? So he says, no, Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Chavtes very clearly applies the concept of mesis to non-avodah zarah situations. Namely, the Gemara talks about that the nachash hakadmoni, the nachash when he got chava to eat from the etzadas, was a mesis. He wasn't getting her to do avodah zarah, he was just getting her to eat from the etzadas. That's enough to make him a mesis. Apparently, you can be called a mesis even if you're not getting someone to do avodah zarah. Rav Moshe says, if it's possible to walk, then it wouldn't be mesis, but it would still be a violation of lifnei iver lo sitin michshol. Some of the discussion that Rabbi Jachter has and Rabbi Bleich has in their respective articles on this topic is how this Rav Moshe fits in with another tshuva of Rav Moshe, or Chaim Chedal Simon Ayin Tes. Rav Moshe holds that you're allowed to trade if you're a doctor who's on call on Shabbos, and you're allowed to trade with someone who's not frum, who is not going to be on call on Shabbos, and the non-frum doctor isn't it mesis, isn't it lifnei iver, you're getting him to be mechal Shabbos. So perhaps the difference is that over there, Be'etzim, it's really mutter. You're allowed to save lives on Shabbos. So you're getting him to do a Maisa Hatzalah, which is technically mutter to do on Shabbos. Over here, you're getting the guy to drive to Shul on Shabbos, so that's no good. The fact that even though he's going to be doing a mitzvah also, but Be'etzim, it's a Maisa of Chil Shabbos. It's also to drive to Shul on Shabbos. So maybe that's why it's a little bit different. The two cases are a little different. But that's all one approach. That's Rav Moshe's approach. Rav Sturmbach is in the other extreme. Rav Sturmbach, Chelek Aleph, Siman Shin Nun Ches, and Rav Sturmbach writes in the Akdamot in his tshuvas that you're going to see a lot of kulas in my tshuvas that you might be uncomfortable with. That's because Rav Sturmbach says, I deal with Bali Tshuva. And when you deal with Bali Tshuva, you need to have a lot of kulas. You need to be able to deal with the realities, and you need to be creative in coming up with different kulas. So Rav Sturmbach, true to form, comes up with a tremendous chiddush lakula. And he says that when you invite someone who's not religious for a Shabbos meal, so it's not lifnei iver. Or why? Because lifnei iver is only a problem if you're doing something that's destructive, that's primarily destructive. Just like the Isra of Chavala, when you're Chaval b'chaveiro, it's usher to take a baseball bat and beat my friend up with it. That's Chavala. But is it usher for me to perform surgery on somebody? Is it usher for me to give someone an injection that they need? No, that's mutter. What I'm to Chavala, it's not Chavala, because be'etzem, I'm doing something productive. So he says, be'etzem, you're trying to be makari of a person, and you're going to invite them, and it's going to make a roshem on them, and it's going to bring them closer to Yiddishkeit, even though they're also going to be doing an aveira by driving there. That's not called lifnei iver. It doesn't fit into the category of lifnei iver. So he pointed out that that's a very difficult comparison to Chavala, because Chavala, the Rambam defines in the fifth paragraph of Chavul Mazik as being Chavul Derech Nitzayon in a combative way. Part of the very definition of Chavala, it's only called a battery if you are beating somebody up in a combative way. But Lifnei Iver is just causing someone to do an Aveira. Was driving to my house an Aveira? Yes. Did I cause him to do it? Yes. So the Charetz, Lifnei Iver. Very difficult to understand Rav Sturmbach's Chiddush. Rabbi Jachter points out that there's Rabbi Kiveger in Yerodeus and Kuf Pe'al Sukkot and Vav that might back up Rav Sturmbach a little, because Rabbi Kiveger says that if a man is going to violate the Yisra of Akavas HaRosh, he's going to shave with the razor, let's say, or he's going to be makif his Rosh, he's going to get a haircut that would violate Akavas HaRosh, so it's better to get shaved from a woman rather than doing it himself, because she's not mitzuv in the Yisr, and he's both an Yisr makif and an Yisr nikif. He's not allowed to do the shaving nor get the shave. So if he does it from a woman, at least he's only a nikif, he's not a makif. The woman's not a makif because she's not mitzuv in the Yisr, so that would be better. What about Lifnei Iver? Isn't the woman doing a violation of Lifnei Iver by giving the man this haircut? So maybe what Rav Kiveger would say is, no, it's not Lifnei Iver, because primarily she's trying to save him from a worse Isser. So even though, yeah, it's Vadei Nisr Daraisa that he's doing, but she's saving him from something worse, and therefore it doesn't even get into the category of Lifnei Iver. Maybe you could back up Rav Sturmbach in that way. Tzitz Eliezer disagrees with Rav Kiveger, points out that there's a Magen Avraham against Rav Kiveger. So long Tzitz Eliezer Chet Tesvav Simen Yud Tes that discusses this. Third approach is, I think, the approach that almost everybody takes, that most of the poskim that I know of go with, and that's Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman quotes a Mishnah in the fifth parak of Shvi, is parak Vav, where the Mishnah discusses what kind of equipment you're allowed to give to somebody during Shemitah year when that somebody doesn't observe the halachas of Shemitah. And the Mishnah says, if it's the kind of equipment that a person could use for things that you're not allowed to do during Shemitah, and could also use for things that you are allowed to do during Shemitah, so it's at least a suffix whether he's going to use a baser or not, then you're allowed to lend him such equipment. You're allowed to give him, you're allowed to sell him such equipment. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, so what do you see? In order to get around Lifnei Iver, all you need to do is create a suffix. As long as you set up a situation where it's not necessarily going to be that the person's going to do an Aveira, where there's a suffix, maybe they won't do an Aveira, that's enough to get around the issue of Lifnei Iver. It's a questionable chiddush in terms of, so Rav Shlomo Zalman says, therefore, in this situation, what do you have to do? Just invite them for a Friday night meal, have them drive over before Shabbos, offer them a place to stay. 99% of the time, they're going to say, no, I don't want to stay by you for Shabbos. Just offer them a place to stay. That creates enough of a suffix that it's not on your head when they drive home. Would not be a problem of Lifnei Iver. The offer has to be a sincere offer, though. If they say, we're going to stay, you can't be like, I'm not really ready to have like food for you tomorrow. And you know, you have to really be prepared to actually have them stay. But that would, this is a Rav Shechter holds this way, I think, and many, many other poskim seem to stick with Rav Shlomo Zalman, the medium approach, I guess, the middle, you know, Rav Moshe is very machmir, Rav Sturmbach very mekel, Shlomo Zalman is sort of takes the middle road over here. some people, you know, might want to avoid the entire situation, and when they invite non-religious relatives, try to invite them on Purim and Chol HaMoed and Chanukah, you know, different times when they're allowed to drive. But technically, Me'ikar HaDin, it would seem that you have what to rely on with Rosh Hashanah Zalman, as long as you give that chance, that situation, that possibility of having an out. It's similar to what Rav Moshe writes in another Chuvin Yardei Chelgal Simanayin Beis, where Rav Moshe talks about if you're allowed to rent a wedding hall out to somebody who's going to have mixed dancing at the reception. So Rav Moshe says, you're renting out a wedding hall. Be'ikar, you're renting out a wedding hall. They happen to be having mixed dancing, so that's something, that's not what you're doing. What you're doing is you're renting out a wedding hall. So you're allowed to sell a pot to someone who's not Shomer Shabbos because they might cook on Shabbos? Yeah, you're selling them pots to cook with. They might also do it on Shabbos. That's a different issue. So maybe if you could create some kind of situation where it's like very far-fetched that they might come to do something that's wrong, so then it would be much better. Rav Shlomo Zalman just thinks all you need is a tzel shel safek. You just need a little bit of a doubt. Just give them any sort of out where they're not going to be in violation of Shabbos, and it's going to be, and that alone would be good enough. Okay.